Psalm 116, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. Verses 15 to 17. Saint Cyril of Jerusalem, of Alexandria, the other Cyril, sorry. Saint Cyril of Alexandria is an interesting character. And as Luther might say, he was no plastic saint. He was real flesh and blood. Cyril is both praised as a theologian, and he's also criticized, as one leader put it. He called him a proud pharaoh. He is held up by his supporters as a heroic defender of the faith, but also described by opponents in the church as a monster bent on destroying the church. So to start with, let's ask the question, would the real Cyril of Alexandria please stand up? Is he the arrogant intellectual? Is he the inciter of riots, even a murderer, as some claim? Is he the jealous and ambitious churchman, often described? Or is he the fearless defender of the faith? Is he the careful teacher of biblical truth? Is he the faithful confessor of Christ? Is Cyril the sinner? Or is Cyril the saint? We're going to return to those questions in a moment, but let's take a little bit of time out here to look at his life. Cyril was born in a small town in northern Egypt in the late 370s AD. His family was Christian. He had a close uncle who became a powerful church leader, the Patriarch of Alexandria. Cyril was very well educated, well versed in scripture and in the contemporary theologians of his day who are very prominent people. But his early years, due largely to his uncle, also exposed him to the ugly underbelly of church politics. He witnessed church leaders persecuting one another, something that had become more intense since the civil government and the church became united. And these two streams of influence, a great Christian education and harsh church politics, would come together often in Cyril's life. Well, in AD 412, when he was in his mid-30s, Cyril's life took a very sudden turn when his uncle died suddenly, and guess what? He was made the new Patriarch of Alexandria. And it was not a smooth transition. Riots happened between rival churchmen. I was talking to Dr. Orlowski, he said, yeah, the Egyptians, they were always rioting about something. These kinds of conflicts would characterize much of his rule, with various Christian groups as well as other prominent religions, along with secular authorities. He would also frequently be at odds with all of these groups, sometimes at the same time. A couple of infamous examples under his watch were the banishment of all of the Jews from Alexandria. Another one was the murder of Hypatia. Perhaps you've heard of her. She is actually held up by feminists today as a champion for their cause, the first feminist. We don't have time to go into all of that stuff here. There are a lot of questions, and there's a lot of misinformation surrounding the mob murder of this acclaimed female philosopher. By the way, I wouldn't recommend the Hollywood version of that that came out in 2011. But you should read up on it sometime. See where you come out on the discussion about Cyril's part in that. But besides being a church leader, Cyril was a brilliant theologian. Brother Cyril was an ardent defender of biblical orthodoxy. He addressed the Arian controversy and defended Scripture's witness on the divinity of Christ. He's especially well known for his defense against Nestorius. His efforts influenced later church councils, which also recognize his contributions. We are particularly indebted to him for his teaching about the unity of Christ's person, his teaching on the Trinity, and as noted in our Lutheran confessions in a couple of places, his witness to sacramental theology and the Lord's Supper. In the early centuries of the church, Cyril of Alexandria brought biblical clarity to often very confused situations. And Cyril wrote a lot. His works are highly acclaimed. For example, in the description of David Maxwell's translation of his commentary on John's Gospel, it says, quote, "The commentary which is addressed to catechists displays Cyril's breathtaking mastery of the full content of the Bible and his painstaking attention to detail as he seeks to offer practical teaching on the cosmic story of God's salvation." That's a mouthful. So we have two accounts, two streams, if you will. Cyril, the gifted theologian and faithful confessor, and Cyril, the church politician, who used ruthless tactics at times to get things done. Who is the real Cyril? There is no doubt in both descriptions there is truth. Again, he is no plastic saint. There isn't anyone that is. He is human, plagued by his own sin and living in a fallen world. So yes, Cyril is a sinner. But we also know that he is, in fact, a saint. The very teachings of Scripture that he sought to defend were the purveyors of forgiveness and righteousness to this brother. And we see that in his writings. Permit me to read one excerpt from Cyril's commentary on Luke from Homily 120. He writes, "Let us therefore pray without ceasing, according to the expression of the blessed Paul. But let us be careful to do so aright. The love of self is displeasing to God, and he rejects empty haughtiness and a proud look, puffed up on account of that which is by no means excellent. Restrain not yourself then from saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' Remember him who says by the voice of Isaiah, 'Declare you your sins first, that you have been justified.' Remember too that he rebukes those who will not do so and says, 'Behold, I have a judgment against you, because you say, I have not sinned.' Examine the words of the saints, for one says, 'The righteous is the accuser of himself in the beginning of his words,' and another, 'I said, I will confess against myself my transgression unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my heart.'" Thus far, Cyril. You see, Cyril's Christ, not Cyril's life, is why he is a saint. Cyril's confession of Christ is why we appreciate this brother who walked the earth so many years ago and whose words still stand as a testimony to us. But before I end, let me pause to ask another question. Before I said, "Will the real Cyril please stand up?" Now I ask this question, "Will the real me and you please stand up?" Is it the proud student of theology who thinks he knows so much, or she thinks she knows so much? Is it the loveless believer who is quick to pass judgment? Is it the ambitious churchman? Is it me and you, the sinner? Or is it the humble penitent who readily confesses his or her sins? Is it the faithful confessor of Christ? Is it the determined teacher of the truth? Is it the redeemed child of God, the blood-washed saint? The Christ Cyril confessed and the dogma he defended says to both questions, yes, sinner, but forgiven, therefore also saint. The Christ we feed on, as eloquently described by Cyril, promised to him and now promises to you and me forgiveness, life, and salvation. Indeed, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. Amen.